not yourselves. We who are strong ought to put up with the failings of the weak and not to please ourselves. Each of us must please our neighbor for the good purpose of building up the neighbor. For Christ did not please himself, but as it is written, the insults of those who insult you have fallen on me. For whatever was written in former days was written for our instruction, so that by steadfastness and by the encouragement of the scriptures we might have hope. May the God of steadfastness and encouragement grant you to live in harmony with one another, in accordance with Christ Jesus, so that together you may with one voice glorify the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Welcome one another, therefore, just as Christ has welcomed you for the glory of God. For I tell you that Christ has become a servant of the circumcised on behalf of the truth of God, in order that he might confirm the promises given to the patriarchs, and in order that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy. As it is written, therefore I will confess you among the Gentiles and sing praises to your name. And again he says, rejoice, O Gentiles, with this people. And again, praise the Lord, all you Gentiles, and let all the peoples praise him. And again Isaiah says, the root of Jesse shall come, the one who rises to rule the Gentiles. In him the Gentiles shall hope. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. And the next reading is from 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 to 9. A living hope. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. By his great mercy, he has given us a new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who are being protected by the power of God through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you rejoice, even if now, for a little while, you have had to suffer various trials, so that the genuineness of your faith, being more precious than gold, that though perishable, is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Although you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and rejoice with an indescribable and glorious joy. For you are receiving the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls.
Thank you for that wonderful reading, Pat. Appreciate your help with that. So, I want to begin this morning with a question. Can you remember a time in your life when you cried in the night? Okay. Have you ever had the experience of coming through a very rough day and finally curling up in your bed at night and letting your tears flow? Well, for me, a few weeks ago, that experience happened. I was in the middle of a very long counseling day, and I heard the news that one of my clients had died. It was a hard death to hear about because this was a young woman in her early 30s. And we had had quite a time, many years of counseling together. But I knew that in the day, I had to keep going. I had to give. And there was no time for me to pause and grieve. But that night, when I got home, I was sort of glad to get into the sanctuary of my house. Do you ever feel that sometimes? That you're just glad to get into your home and close the door. And I was grieving, but I wasn't sad until I turned the lights off. And in the darkness, I could feel the grief come and the tears flowed. And like you, I also have nights when you cry in the night, because it seems that when we come to the night, there's a peace that is in the night, but there's also a time when all the awfulness of the day can come and play on your mind. And when I'm working with people, sometimes I say to them, when the awfulness becomes overwhelming, wake up, get out of bed, turn the light on, and remember that you're still okay. And then crawl back into bed again, turn the light off, and start again. Because nights can be long, and they can be very difficult. There are all kinds of nights that we endure. There's the night of personal disappointment. I was reading not so long ago about Senator Bob Dole. I don't know how many of you remember, but he was trying to get into the presidential election and be elected as president of the United States. And the morning after the national vote, which he was rejected, a reporter asked Bob Dole how he had slept. And his response was fascinating to me. He said, like a baby. He said, I woke, I cried, I slept. I woke, I cried, I slept. Oh, Pat, you know all about this. Because you have little Lucas that you're looking after. They wake, they cry, they sleep. And I thought, isn't that an interesting response to give? And it's true in the night. Another kind of night that we endure, nations go through. And I've been thinking so much as we've been praying every night at 9 o'clock for Ukraine about the night that Ukraine is going through as a nation. It's brutal. It's horrific. And we don't even really understand what people are going through because we're not there. But nations can go through night. And then illness can be a night. When we go through a diagnosis, difficult treatment. You know, I can remember when I worked in the hospital many years ago, down at Toronto General and at what used to be Etobicoke General Hospital, and I would do the night shift. It was always in the dark of the night, the deepest part of the night, that people would have the most pain. And the call bells would go off, and people would be asking, Carol, I need something for my pain. They seem to be all right during the day to tolerate things fairly well, but in the deepness of the night, the pain was worse. And then there are the nights of loss and grief, of depression and anxiety. And then there are spiritual nights. In John 13, after Judas took the bread from Jesus at the Last Supper, he left and he set into motion the crucifixion of God's Son. And John makes one stark comment in verse 30 of John 13. He says, and it was night. Spiritual night. Because of what Jesus would then have to endure at the before the dawn of the morning and then through the morning as he prepared to go to the cross. What times are we living in? What are the night times that we're living in? Whatever night David was enduring as he wrote Psalm 30, one thing is for sure. He was not writing theologically or theoretically. He was living Psalm 30, and it was real. And Psalm 30 was written as a psalm of thanksgiving for great deliverances, which God had brought for David. And he penned upon his recovery from a dangerous fit of sickness, which might happen to be at the time of the dedication of his house. So they feel that David was enduring a lot of nightness as he was dealing with a dangerous fit of sickness. The psalm begins with David praising God and thanking him for not allowing his enemies to rejoice over him. He also thanks God for healing him after he cried out to God for help. He sings praises to God and encourages others to do the same. And then comes the key verse in verse 5. For his anger is but for a moment. His favor, God's favor, is for a lifetime. Weeping may last for the night, but a shout of joy comes in the morning. The word here used for joy is the Hebrew word rina, and it means ringing cry in proclamation or joy or praise. A ringing cry, a different kind of cry than the tears wept in the night. A ringing cry in proclamation, joy and praise. You almost feel the tension in this word rina. It's both a cry of prayer and a cry of praise. It's a powerful word, a powerful concept. It shows that joy is found not after pain, not after everything is made right, but in the midst of it. The only way this is possible is because of the work of the Lord. He is the only one who can enter our pain and fill us with joy. Is morning a favorite time for you? Morning signifies newness, starting over, freshness, a blank slate. And as Helen Keller, both blind and deaf, used to sit on her porch and wait for the sunrise. She loved the morning. She said, I couldn't see the sunrise, but I could feel the warmth of the sun on my face. And as we read about last week on Easter Sunday, Jesus' resurrection was found early in the morning after a night of darkness. For followers of Christ, it has been morning for us ever since. A little girl asked her mother, what was God doing last night during the storm? Before her mother could answer, the girl answered her own question. Oh, I know. He was making the morning, right? At the height of the Montgomery bus boycott in the mid-1950s, a young Martin Luther King Jr. led the work in which he was trying to bring a sense of tolerance and understanding in the midst of a terrible crisis. And he found himself in great distress in the middle of the night. He had been wakened by a threatening phone call. He got up, made a pot of coffee. The pressure and the burden was almost unbearable. Expectations of blacks and attacks by whites. He was between these two warring parties. Afraid and confused, he said that with his head and hands, he realized that he had nothing left to give. He was empty. He said out loud, I can't face this alone. As he spoke, the tears subsided and the fear melted away. And he heard an inner voice that said to him, it's going to be all right. Billy Graham once said, when it comes to the end of ourselves, that's when we come to the beginning of God. I like that. We be endures for night, but joy comes with the morning. I think it's important, as we talked about earlier, that happiness and joy are not exactly the same thing. Happiness, as I said, is that feeling when pleasurable circumstances happen to us. But joy is a gift. It's a gift in which we have the state of being that has gratitude to God for all that he has done. Even Jesus chose joy in his night circumstance. In Hebrews 12, verses 1 to 3, we read, therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross despite the shame, and has sat down at the right hand on the throne of God. For consider him who has endured such hostility by sinners against himself, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Jesus didn't experience joy because of the pain of the cross or the shame heaped upon him, but he did endure those horrific circumstances for the joy that would come out of it. He chose to walk obediently to God and in obedience with God because of the joy set before him. The joy of reconciling us to God. The joy of conquering sin and death. The joy of the resurrection that we celebrated last Sunday. And the joy of making a way for us to be free and experience new life. He endured hostility and death so that we would not grow weary and lose heart. Imagine that a person would do that for us. Amazing. We can experience joy in the midst of our night circumstances because he is with us. I can hear some of you saying, oh, Carol, so how can I experience joy in our night experiences in 2022, because we're having some night experiences. And I can assure you that we cannot trick ourselves into finding joy or work our way into joy. There just isn't any way for us to manufacture joy. I know I've tried. True joy is found in the Lord and the Lord alone. It's something that comes from him. It isn't from me. And I can't manufacture it. And if I try, it isn't sustainable. And we can't fake joy. You simply can't. We can't earn joy. It's a free gift. So how do we experience it? How do we really experience joy? This joy that is talked about in Scripture. We look to Jesus. We abide in him, and we simply ask him to fill us with joy. It's so simple, but it's hard to do sometimes in the midst of the night. Abiding with Jesus means spending time with him. As we spend time with him, we allow his truth and love to fill our weary hearts and fill us with joy. And sometimes it takes time. I always say to people, it doesn't happen in 12 hours. When God talked about the night, we think of 12 hours or 8 hours or however long the night is. But it can take sometimes much longer. The nighttime of weeping can span days or months or even years. That eventually goes away, and at some point we begin to experience a time of joy in our earthly lives. And I've worked with so many people who suffered long, long nights. They're the people that I see every week. But you know, joy does come in the morning. I could take you to hundreds of my clients who believe in God and have found joy in the morning. But make no mistake, suffering is never designed to happen forever. It occurs for a finite period of time, and then it will pass away. And joy is the promise that we cling to during the night and into the morning. In fact, really, Psalm 30, verse 5, offers a glimpse into the resurrection and hope that we have in Jesus, our Savior and Messiah. And we see many parallels between this verse and the account of what happened to Jesus' disciples immediately after his crucifixion. Jesus told his disciples that he would be killed and then rise again, but they didn't believe him. And when he died on the cross, they were devastated. Not only did they seem to expect that somehow he would escape this torturous step at the hands of his enemies. But when his death happened, what happened? Why were they made into bed behind locked doors? Because they doubted that he was who he said he was. They really believed he was dead and gone, and they needed to meet in fear, for fear of what the Romans would do to them, as they realized that his divinity had been a massive mistake. And they were certainly confused. And if you look at Thomas, as we looked at last week, he was plummeted into complete doubt and despair and didn't even want to meet with the disciples until a week later, which would be next weekend. And the disciples were having a terrible time with this death of Jesus. And so, what happened next? Well, Easter morning came, and the tomb was empty, and although there was some doubt about the fact that the angels that were saying to them that Jesus was alive was indeed the truth, Jesus had indeed conquered death, and joy indeed followed the darkness. And when Jesus appeared to them, they rejoiced. They were blown away with the knowledge that all that Jesus had promised was true. And as the Apostle Peter writes, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that will never perish, spoil, or fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. In all this, you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have to endure suffering and grief in all kinds of trials." So we can all take heart in the knowledge of this. Suffering is a given. Weeping does occur in the night, for our earth is certainly not heaven. But as the Apostle John encourages us, the darkness is passing and the true light is already shining. Our suffering is finite, and Jesus embodies that joy that comes in the morning. Do you believe that God created joy in the morning? Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. Amen. Amen. I'm going to sing now, "Lord of All Hopefulness."
Who's the spirit of God?
Lord, we continue to ask you to heal Roger and Janice, Bill and Roy, Nancy's family members, and others who are ill. Restore wholeness and strength. Comfort those who grieve. Lord, help us as your people to weep with those who weep and rejoice with those who are celebrating the goodness of life. Be with the people of Ukraine and bring peace to our world. And Lord, as we begin this new week, remind us that weeping may endure for the night, but joy comes in the morning. Bring us new opportunities to share your love with others and to show kindness and care to those we encounter this week. We pray all these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. And I'm going to invite you to turn to our last hymn as we sing At the Dawn of Salvation. The Dawn of Salvation.
At the dawning of salvation.
peace of the Lord Jesus Christ surrounds you, and the joy of the Holy Spirit will be with you. Amen.
Your word has made me whole. and will mend each broken part. His word will touch your soul.
His word, His word.